It's All in the Family, by W.B. Screws. The Pilgrim's Messenger. Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. -11 Timothy 1:13. Published monthly by W.B. Screws, Glenville, Georgia. 25 cents a year. Volume XXX. October, 1950. Number 3. Entered at the post office at Glenville, Ga. As second class matter. After telling us that he had been crucified with Christ, and that Christ was living in him, Paul says, "That which I am now living in flesh, I am living in faith that is of the Son of God, who loves me and is giving himself up for my sake." Galatians 2:20, 21. It is worthy to note that the apostle switches from Christ to the Son of God in the latter verse. It is the same one, yet the expression, the Son of God, brings a thought of tenderness, of intimacy, of family life. The change to the phase is intentional. Paul means to present a thought of family relationship. Christ is the Son of God. I am a son of God. We both have the same Father. Paul says the Father is in us, if 4, 6, and that Christ dwells in me. The Son dwells in my heart through faith. And I live in me. The beauty of the truth that Paul here teaches is apparent when we read the latter part of the verse. The Son of God loves us. This is a timeless fact. It is what is called the aorist, or indefinite tense. Then he changes to the present tense, and is giving himself up for my sake. We were crucified with him a long time ago. But today, September, 1950, he is giving himself up for our sakes. Giving himself up. Merging his interest with ours, to the extent that he is giving himself up to take care of our interests. Doing it now. Doing it tomorrow. Doing it every day. This blessed relationship is sweet to contemplate. We do not contemplate it except as we live in faith that is of the Son of God. Our faith must include the fact that he is in the family with us. That he is living in the same house with us. That we are not of any importance apart from him. This faith gives comfort. It causes us to feel secure. It so closely identifies us with him, that we do not even want to think of ourselves except as we think of his loving interest in us. I am thinking of a man who has a grown son and a small one. He asks the elder son to look after his little brother, and take care of him in every way. The older son, if he is worthy of the designation, will forget his own interest, to look after that of his little brother. This is but a feeble illustration of what I'm writing about. Not only is it a fact that Christ is our Savior, but it is also a glorious truth that he is interested in us now. He is looking after our welfare while we are on earth. And he is giving up himself into our interest - in our behalf - for the sake of us, in order to promote our daily welfare. There seems to be an idea that the Savior and his Father are pleased to have us endure a hard time in this life, because he has provided eternal life for us after a while. This idea has led to the belief that suffering and poverty is ordered by God, and that it is improper to try to avoid it, or pray to be delivered from it. The truth is, our Father has provided for us thousands of comforts in life. All modern conveniences constitute some of his mercies and blessings to us. It is in keeping with his will that we have these things, and that we use them to our advantage, praising him for them. Our Father provides fellowship and spiritual comfort for us to enjoy in life. I pity the saint who is deprived of fellowship with other saints. Some are cut off from their fellows of faith, and never experience the joy of such fellowship. However, they may have communion with the Father within, and with the Christ who dwells in our heart through faith. We all may have this privilege. But here is a definite need for association with our fellow saints. Those who are deprived of this blessing are poor indeed. Physical comforts are provided. Paul says, "My God shall be filling your every need in accord with his riches in glory, in Christ Jesus." This is either true, or it is untrue. We know that many do not get what they need. Does God provide it? Most certainly he does. Faith is the power of spirit and mind that enables us to receive and enjoy the blessings that God has for us. Some are almost afraid to pray, lest they ask for something that God has predestinated that they shall not have. And this in the face of the fact that Paul tells us to let our requests be known to God. Some are afraid that if they pray they will be trying to change God. They do not know that real prayer is not an effort to overcome God's reluctance, but that it is an effort to accept His willingness. God is willing. Why be negative about it? They are those who say, you won't get what you pray for, unless it is the will of God that you shall have it. Why not be affirmative? It sounds much more cheerful if we say, you will get what you ask for in faith, if it is God's will that you shall have it. This is true, if the prayer has the proper faith. How do we know what the will of God is, concerning our daily blessings? If we need it is God's will that we have it, and He has provided it for faith. In Romans 15:3-4, Paul quotes one of the Psalms, and says, whatever was written before was written into this teaching of ours, that though the endurance and consolation of the Scriptures we may be having expectation. This has reference to the Psalms and the other Hebrew Scriptures. What was written before does not touch our destiny - that found alone in Paul's writings. Therefore, it must be that we are to have expectation in this life, by reading the earlier Scriptures. I claim such promises as these, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Acknowledge Him in all their ways and He shall direct your path. And all the other promises of good in the present life. While they were spoken to Israel, they are written in the teaching of Paul, and I, too, may have expectation in believing them and appropriating them. Jonah had an idea that God ought to limit Himself in His dealings. Even after the prophet had been delivered from the whale, he still thought that God ought to not show any favor to Nineveh. The Ninevites were as good as he was. But he thought God had no right to bless them. However, he knew that God would bless them if they repented, and this was one thing that he had against him. We find the counterpart of Jonah today, in Christendom. Yet, in spite of their protests, God still repents of evil. I praise His name for it. We still have the right to pray for all mankind, and for the present conflict to end. Yes, we are a household - the Father, the Son and I, we live in the same house. The glorious thing about it is, they live in the same house with you, as well as in my house. They are in the house - the individuality - of every believer. If believers can realize this, and live in that faith, they may be conscious, every day, that the Father is blessing them for the sake of His Son, who is daily giving Himself up for their sake. This obliterates the doleful existence that some endure - thinking that God has doomed them to suffering, or poverty, or dissatisfaction. This faith gives exhilaration of spirit, joy of soul, and leads to health and plenty. It would be strange, indeed, if our blessed Father did not care as much for us as do our earthly parents. This faith that I am writing about leads to sweet worship of God. It means a life of trust. It brings us to rely on the living God. It provides sweet fellowship for all who are calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. In short, it means an existence, now, of peace, joy, and righteousness. The Spirit of Christ gives us the life of Christ. Living in me is Christ, says Paul. The Spirit that roused Jesus Christ from among the dead is in us, for the purpose of enlivening our mortal bodies. God is interested in our bodies. He has provided for their health and activity. Believer, I ask you to consider the fact that the Son of God is giving Himself up for your sake. You may trust the Father to do for you what is needful, since He is so much in love with you, and since He will always honor the Son. You may depend on Him to do for you, for the sake of the Son. As one whose mission it is to manifest the Father and the Son in my life, I plead for you to take into consideration the things I have here written. Don't forget that it's all in the family. Claim your blessings through Christ, the Son of God. Claim them in faith. Your father has promised them for you. This ensures a holy peace in your life. It means security. What a blessing. Return to main index page.